It's the fourth straight day of gains for the S&P 500 and the Dow. And for the Nasdaq, it did manage to eke out a gain as well. It is, however, the laggard, at least for a change. It's something we haven't seen in a while.
I think the Pope has hinted that he's going to tell Trump what he thinks. So there are a lot of issues they don't agree on. They don't agree about climate change. They don't agree on immigration. The Pope has opened immigration. He publicly said that building walls is not Christian, and you know, Trump was very upset by that. I think they're going to talk about it, but I think this is also an opportunity for them to sort of show that they are talking, that there is a channel open, and maybe that's the signal that they want to give.
This morning I said that the Joint Terrorism Analysis Center was keeping the threat level under constant review. It has now concluded, on the basis of today's investigations, that the threat level should be increased for the time being, from severe to critical. This means that their assessment is not only that an attack remains highly likely, but that a further attack may be imminent.
Now, WGN Radio's daily conversation about the life of business and the business of life. This is The Opening Bell with Steve Grzanich on 720 WGN.
Good morning, everyone. Welcome to the program. Today is Wednesday. It's May 24th, 2017. Glad to have you here for another edition of The Opening Bell, another business day. Lots to cover this morning. We'll wrap up our One Summer Chicago telethon later this half hour. We'll be talking with one of the deputy commissioners of youth services for the city of Chicago as we try to get as many young people summer jobs this year in Chicago as possible. And in a minute, we'll bring in Heather Long. We'll talk a little bit about Trump's new budget. But first, on the WGN Associated Bank Market Desk this morning, stocks in China sank this morning after Moody's cut Beijing's government debt rating, and other Asian markets rose following Wall Street's advance yesterday. The Shanghai Composite lost 0.5% or more. Hong Kong's Hang Seng was off as well. Tokyo's Nikkei rose, and Seoul's market also advanced just a little bit. U.S. stocks rose for a fourth straight day yesterday. Right now, futures are pointing toward opening gains when the opening bell rings later this morning. Dow futures up 11. S&P and NASDAQ futures are higher as well. Crude oil is trading at $51.59 a barrel, which is up almost 0.25%. In Europe this morning, generally lower markets. The DAX in France, the CAC off this morning. The FTSE's up about 15 points. But again, in this country, we're looking for a positive open when the bell rings later on this morning. Lots of news since you went to bed last night. First, we'll talk a little bit about the situation as it stands right now in the UK. You heard the Prime Minister there saying that the threat level is now critical. We'll continue to follow that story throughout the hour here. With news coming up at the bottom of the hour, I'll let you know the very latest. A number of arrests have been made after the Manchester attack. Top officials in President Trump's cabinet are heading to Capitol Hill today to defend his plans to cut domestic programs and also some social programs as well. It is the new budget, a 10-year budget plan containing jarring, politically unrealistic cuts to the social safety net, with food stamps, also Medicaid on the chopping block. Lots of reaction from the Democrats, including Hillary Clinton, who said this yesterday.
To repeal the Affordable Care Act shows an unimaginable level of cruelty.
Also yesterday, Senator Bernie Sanders, the independent from Vermont.
This is a budget that is immoral and that will cause an enormous amount of pain for the most vulnerable people in our nation.
We want to go into detail on this morning. Heather Long is a senior stock market and economy writer at CNN Money, and she's with us this morning. Good morning, Heather.
Good morning, Steve.
I know you have been writing a lot about this lately. What's the headline here?
Well, honestly, I think my favorite comment, you just played Bernie Sanders and Hillary Clinton, but I think my favorite comment on the budget so far actually comes from Senator John Cornyn of Texas, one of the Republican leaders in the Senate. And he said it. This budget is dead on arrival. You mentioned there's big cuts to the safety net that doesn't go down well, and certainly a lot of people who voted for Trump would be hurt by those. I've spoken to some of them yesterday. The other big point, though, is for Republicans, and I think for a lot of us throughout America, we have a big debt. And Trump says, or his White House team says, no, it's okay. I'm cutting the debt with this budget. In the next 10 years, we're going to bring the debt down. We're going to end these overspending. But the way that he does that is the best way to say it is fantasy or magical math. It just doesn't add up. He's trying to say that these tax cuts he's going to do, the budget actually says that tax revenues will grow over the next 10 years, and nobody on the left or the right believes that will happen. And he thinks that he's going to just grow the economy so much. Will the tax cuts bring in more revenue, but he also had the budget adds in additional money, like over $2 trillion additional dollars in the next 10 years. It's just going to come from this economic boom. And look, everybody wants to see the economy grow, but again, it's just totally unrealistic to program in all of this extra money that's just going to come. Particularly at the levels that he's programmed it in. So that's why you're hearing comments like dead on arrival. It just doesn't make sense what's on paper right now.
Yeah, and part of it, too, in that fantasy part of it is it relies sort of on 3% growth. We barely made it to 2%, right, this past year. So that is a big jump. That would be a huge jump over where we're at right now.
Yeah, again, I mean, everybody would love to see faster growth in the United States, but it sounds like a small difference, 2% to 3%, but in the economic world, that is a massive difference.
I don't know if you watch Ali Velshi. She was a former colleague of yours. He has a funny comment. You know, he's bald, of course, and his comment through all of this is, I have a better chance of growing a full afro than 3% growth happening. But I didn't mean to interrupt you. I'm sorry. I just wanted to interject that funny part.
Yeah, I think you're right. I've heard a couple of economists say to me, you know, I'm 5'6", and next year I'll be playing for the Knicks. Of course, the Knicks haven't been that great. So I said, well, maybe.
Right.
I think the other key takeaway is that when I look at this budget, one of the key things, you know, it doesn't matter if you're on the left or the right. Everybody knows that the main drivers of America's budget problems right now are Social Security and Medicare. And one of the issues with Trump's budget is he promised on the campaign trail that he would not touch either of those programs. Obviously, a lot of older Americans rely on those. And because Trump said we're not going to touch them, that's how we got in this situation where we have to use this magical math and we have to use these massive cuts to the poor and to the safety net in order to try to even get something that remotely would balance the budget because Trump refuses to touch the pieces that everybody says, you got to touch these, you got to reform these if we're going to get America on a better financial footing.
We're chatting with Heather Long this morning of CNN Money.
From ABC News, Wall Street Now. Stocks rose for a fourth day Tuesday, led by shares in banks and pharmaceutical companies. The Dow Jones Industrial Average closed up 43 points at 20,937. The Standard & Poor's 500 picked up 4.5 points. The NASDAQ continues its climb, closing at 6,138. Target has reached an $18.5 million settlement with 47 states and the District of Columbia to resolve investigations of the 2013 pre-Christmas credit card breach. More than 41 million customers had personal information exposed. New home sales fell 11.5% in April, the biggest monthly drop in more than 2 years. Economists expect a healthy job market to give more people the confidence to buy homes. Watch for a rebound in sales this month. And Apple and Nokia have kissed and made up, settling a dispute over Apple's right to use patents and other intellectual property owned by Nokia. Starting in the second quarter of this year, Apple will begin paying royalties to its former courtroom rival. Jim Ryan, ABC News.
You're listening to The Opening Bell on 720 WGN.
Good morning. Welcome back to the program. We're on with Heather Long this morning, senior stock market economy writer at CNN Money, talking about the new Trump budget, $600 billion in cuts to Medicaid over the next decade, and $193 billion in cuts to the SNAP or food stamp program over 10 years, $143 billion in student loan cuts over the next 10 years. Heather, you said you talked to some of Trump's supporters. You've been talking to them about all of this. SNAP and Medicaid would hurt them the most, wouldn't it?
Definitely. There's 44 million Americans right now who use SNAP, what we call it, which is food stamps. Those payments are usually pretty small. A lot of families receiving about $200 to $300 a month. But if you're particularly working poor, you're kind of on the margin, you rely on that money. I was talking to a woman last night, a single mom, of two kids and in Kentucky. Kentucky would really be hit hard. It's a very big red state, but that's part of that old Rust Belt, old Appalachia region. And, you know, it was the first she heard of it. A lot of people don't pay attention like we do to every TikTok of the news. But she said, I don't think I could live without this right now. And what's interesting is I think there's kind of a misperception. Obviously, Trump wants his big goal is to get more people off of welfare and back to work. The woman I spoke to yesterday, I called her at work. The problem is she doesn't earn enough money. She only earns $8 an hour as a housekeeper in a hotel in Kentucky. And that's not enough money to live with her family. And so that's really the problem. Almost a third of people who already receive food stamps, there is a requirement at the moment for people to actively look for work and to try to get jobs. But the problem is a lot of them are like the woman I spoke to yesterday. They have a job. It just doesn't pay enough to get out of poverty.
The other part of that, too, is that they don't have the education and training that would be necessary for some of these companies that are just clamoring for all kinds of skilled high-tech workers.
Yeah, it's interesting. I'm glad you brought that up. Yesterday, the Wall Street White House budget director, Mick Mulvaney, he brought up the fact that Utah has one of the lowest unemployment rates in the country, that it's thriving, a lot of jobs out there. Well, the problem is a lot of people, they're high-tech jobs. And like you said, this woman in Kentucky who's working in a hotel housekeeper probably can't show up tomorrow and get that tech job. A, she lives in Kentucky. She would have to move. That's a big expense. And B, she doesn't have the training necessary for that. So and that's the other kind of concerning part of this budget is not only does it cut those safety net programs, but he makes some big dramatic slashing of job training programs. And so it's sort of that part doesn't quite add up. I will say I also spoke to another man yesterday. I had visited what's known as America's poorest white town, which is in eastern Kentucky in Appalachia, a small town called Beattyville. And I spoke to a pastor there last night who spent his life fighting poverty in that town. And, you know, he said to me, wait a minute. I've seen both sides of this. And he's seen plenty of people who need real help. His own family growing up, he was one of 14 kids. His father was disabled. They received some Social Security money. But he also said, I've also seen people get dependent on it. And I think there should be reforms. And he wasn't ready to dismiss this as totally cruel yet, which some of the headlines in the news media has done. So it was an interesting perspective from someone on the front line.
So we have this then as the starting place, perhaps. I know a couple of Republicans, as you mentioned, said it's dead on arrival in the Senate. But where do we go from here? Is this going to be a blueprint for something that will come in terms of a budget?
Yes, I think it is. And that's why we're taking the time to talk to people about it. I think if I had to make a prediction of crystal ball, there's two key takeaways that I see from this budget. Number one is there's going to be a big fight. It's going on right now about how big the tax cuts are going to be. At the moment, the Trump administration and Republicans in Congress are getting some criticism about why is this all, it looks like it's a tax plan for the rich. Do we really need to do this much cutting? And so there's going to be a big debate, particularly as they try to figure out how to balance the budget. There's also a debate at the moment about whether or not to do a tax on companies like Walmart that are importing a lot of goods from overseas. So that's very much a hot debate in Washington right now. The other debate, which I think people were surprised about with this budget, we knew the tax debate was coming. It's been happening. But the debate that I think is surprising is the one we were just talking about, and that is what do we do about these safety net programs? You know, Trump is essentially asking for another version of that mid-1990s welfare to work reform. But we've already made a lot of the easy changes to those programs. We did that in the 90s, and we saw some results. But we're about to have another really big debate in this country about who deserves aid and what kind of requirements do we put on people who are on aid at the moment.
Heather, great chatting with you as always. Thanks for the context and information about this budget, and we'll stay tuned going forward.
Yeah, keep your hair.
All right, thanks, Heather. Heather Long is a senior stock market and economy writer at CNN Money. You can follow her on Twitter at @ByHeatherLong, and you can read her work at money.cnn.com.
Now, WGN Radio's daily conversation about the life of business and the business of life. This is The Opening Bell with Steve Grzanich on 720 WGN.
Good morning, everyone. Welcome back to the program. It's 5:39. Glad to have you on board for our Wednesday edition of the program. Over the last day, you've probably been listening to our station, WGN. We've been doing the One Summer Chicago 2017 telethon, radiothon, citywide campaign for One Summer Chicago, being conducted with 47 Chicagoland radio stations, the McCormick Foundation, and the City of Chicago. Your donation helping spur hiring of kids for summer jobs. We're happy to have with us Mary Ellen Messner, the Deputy Commissioner of Youth Services for the Department of Family and Support Services this morning. Commissioner, good morning. How are you?
Good morning. Good morning, Steve. How are you? I'm great.
I'm great, too. Thanks for being with us on the opening bell this morning. So this we've spent the last day trying to get people to give money to spur these summer jobs. Tell us again why it is so important that kids have these summer jobs.
Summer jobs are invaluable to young people. It's their first experience for many of them working. It's an opportunity to be engaged during the summer, do something productive, learn new skills, meet new friends. And lastly, of course, not most importantly, but very important, to earn a paycheck.
It's very important because all of us have been sharing our stories of our first summer jobs. And I can remember just as plain as day how cool it was to have that money, that first paycheck, and being able to support myself to a certain extent and get the things I want. In Chicago, there's an extra component to this, isn't there? Because the more kids we get off the streets, the less likely there might be violence, right?
Oh, definitely. Our program was studied through a randomized control trial that actually showed that young people in our program, there was a decrease in violence by up to 43% post-participation in the program by 16 months. So just having a summer job for 6 to 7 weeks and being engaged really helps young people to make better choices and to be very productive, to be leaders in their community. And so it's fairly intuitive, right? But we did study the program, so there is evidence behind it that shows a summer job really, really makes a difference in young people's lives.
The contributions that people have been giving over the last day or so and can continue to give going forward, those expenses, that funding helps do what?
It helps do many things. First, I want to thank anyone who has donated or is thinking of donating. It does a few things. So it pays wages for young people for the summer. It's about $1,100 for a young person to work for 7 weeks. We are also doing community gardens and beautification. It's going to pay for peace-led youth initiatives, so young people can plan something in their community, maybe a peace walk, a peace rally, teach other young people about being peaceful and being a leader in their community. Pays for transportation for young people to get safely to and from their job, very important during the summer months. So a small donation goes a long way. So I want to encourage everyone to donate to the mayor's program.
So if people are listening, especially young people, maybe their parents are listening right now and they want to apply for some of these jobs or get moving on this, what's the first step those young people should be doing, taking?
So people should go to onesummerchicago.org. There's a donate button, and you can go there to donate any amount. We welcome. There's always thousands of young people who don't get jobs. Last year, we had 77,000 young people apply, and we had over 31,000 jobs. And so that's the first step. They can also that's the first step. I would go online to donate.
77, that kind of shows what the demand is, isn't it? That's 77 versus 31. You probably expect the same thing this year, don't you?
We do, right? Everyone is looking for an opportunity. And so this campaign is really a way for Chicagoans to rally around our young people who have so many great assets and really want to contribute and we need to provide more opportunities for them to show their skills, learn skills, connect with employers and caring adults to, you know, help them with this first opportunity.
Mary Ellen, I know that we're talking about summer jobs now, but your department, the Youth Services Department of the Family and Support Services, you're in business all year around, aren't you? So what are some of the other things that you do in your department?
We are the largest social service provider. We're the social service arm of the city of Chicago, so we have 7 program areas. And our department does everything from early care and education to senior services. I'm over the youth services division, and we also have out-of-school time activities. We fund community organizations all across the city of Chicago to deliver tutoring service and arts programming and recreation programs. We also provide diversion programs for young people who may have been touched by law enforcement, so may have been arrested and are looking to connect and turn their lives around. We connect them to a mentor, and we work on social-emotional learning skills. We provide employment to returning citizens. So we really try to help the most vulnerable Chicagoans who need support, particularly in this current climate, to have the same opportunities that other people have in the city of Chicago.
You are probably lucky enough to be on the front lines to see those success stories that we don't hear a lot about. Are there a lot of those success stories, optimistic stories?
There are so many success stories. The one I really like to tell is a young man who had been incarcerated and was leaving prison, and he found a flyer for the mayor's summer jobs program and applied. This was several years ago, and now works at one of a leading not-for-profit that provides services to young people. He's a mentor now. He works full-time, and he says that One Summer Chicago really changed his life and put his life on a much more positive trajectory, where he is a leader. He's helping other young people. He's a leader in his community.
That's a great story. Mary Ellen, thank you for your work, and thanks for being with us this morning here on The Opening Bell.
Thank you very much.
Mary Ellen Messner is the Deputy Commissioner of Youth Services for the Department of Family and Support Services in Chicago. One Summer Chicago, again, 2017. You can check them out online, onesummerchicago.org/donate. You can also call 800-931-5707. That's 800-931-5707. One Summer Chicago 2017, a McCormick Foundation fund, is a partnership of the Robert R. McCormick Foundation and the City of Chicago. And 720 WGN is very proud to be a part of all of this. 547 on The Opening Bell.
This is Dave Schwann. I'm a news anchor and reporter at WGN Radio. In the summer of 1976, I was working for a firm in Hammond, Indiana that sold and repaired heating and air conditioning furnaces and installed central air conditioning for homes and small businesses. I guess you could say I was a glorified gopher. I did everything. I've always said that that's one of the most important skills you can have in jobs. Getting along with your coworkers, getting along with people, and always, always willing to learn. One Summer Chicago is ready to give 30,000 teens and young adults summer employment, but we need your donation to make that possible. Visit onesummerchicago.org/donate or call 800-931-5707. That's 800-931-5707. One Summer Chicago 2017 is a fund of the Robert R. McCormick Foundation.
You're listening to The Opening Bell on 720 WGN.
Good morning. Welcome back to the program on the WGN Associated Bank Market Desk. Dow futures turning flat now, off about a quarter on the S&P. NASDAQ futures are up about 6. Dow futures up only about 4 now. Crude oil still trading higher. Silver and gold are lower. Let's get the latest now on commodities and agriculture. Good morning, Orion Samuelson.
Good morning, Steve. Markets yesterday, cash hogs called lower again today. But we saw the June and August posting new high settlements yesterday. And June came to within a whisker of a fresh contract high. And so at the end of the trading session, the nearby June lean hog contract was up 87 cents at $80.15 a hundredweight. Turning to the cattle market, quiet and described as lazy by some of the traders. June live cattle ending down $1.05 and the August feeder cattle contract down $1.27. Turning to the grain market yesterday, planting progress impressed the bulls in the market, and so they tended to push down the value of all the grains, really, with planting running on schedule. They think that the crop is okay. So July wheat ended the day down 4.5 cents, July corn down a nickel, and July soybeans down 7. Yesterday, the reaction to the Donald Trump budget was pretty negative from all segments of our society, and certainly agriculture joined with that group. Nobody impressed with the budget because of budget cuts, and the old feeling, cut everybody else's budget but don't cut mine, was certainly prevalent yesterday. The White House on Monday proposed $46.5 billion in cuts to federal government funding for the agriculture sector over the next 10 years. That's it this morning. Have a great day. I'm Orion Samuelson.
All right, Orion, you have a great day as well. Now on the WGN Associated Bank Market Outlook for Market Desk Outlook for this Wednesday. It's May 24th. A couple of big economic reports we're looking forward to. The U.S. National Association of Realtors releases monthly existing home sales. That would be the April report. The U.S. Federal Housing Federal Finance Alliance publishes its monthly and quarterly housing price index and tables for March and quarter one of 16. State of the Cities, the National League of Cities, reports today providing analysis of city trends based on the annual State of the City addresses from mayors across the country. Forbes magazine publishes its global annual Global 2000, indexing the largest and the most powerful publicly listed companies in the world as measured by revenues, profits, assets, and market value. The Congressional Budget Office is expected to release the cost estimate, the score, if you will, for the American Health Care Act of 2017 that was passed by the House of Representatives back on May 4th. The ACBO score could prepare a cost estimate, see how many people could lose coverage and be affected by that law. Tiffany & Company set to release earnings. The luxury jeweler blamed a sales slump last Christmas as its Fifth Avenue flagship store on the police presence around Trump Tower. Things have been looking up for Tiffany. It has a new CEO. Stock has been glimmering, too, with a 21% increase so far this year. Guess, HP, Williams-Sonoma, Lowe's, and Advanced Auto Parts all released earnings today. Some of the things that could move the markets on this Wednesday, May 24th.